desire and interest in your prayers tonight as we look into the Word of God. Brother Ed shared a synopsis of the message that the Lord has put on my heart to share tonight. I have a very heavy burden, and if you are not saved tonight, I do want you to know that the Lord loves you wherever you're at. And if you have disappointed folks, you young people, if you've disappointed your parents, there's a whole lot of people that love you. And if you're not ready to meet the Lord tonight, you have been prayed for. I've been seeking the Lord today, as I know I can tell by Brother Ed's expression. Lord, would you give us one more soul? Just one more soul. Because the Lord is interested in all of us making it to heaven tonight. And He cares about all of us. He cares about our struggles. He cares about the needs in our life. But most of all, He wants us to make it to heaven. And from the very beginning of John the Baptist's ministry, John the Baptist preached a message of repentance. Yes, and repentance is about turning away from your sin. Turning away from your way and accepting God's way. Accepting Jesus into your life. That's what it means to repent. It means I'm not going to keep walking the way I've been walking. I'm not going to keep living the way I've been living, but I'm going to turn away from my own way, and I'm going to accept Christ. When Jesus began His ministry, He also preached a message of repentance. Repent ye. And we read in the book of Acts about Peter, and he was preaching, and the people, it said, were pricked in their hearts, and they said, What do we do? And you know what Peter said? Repent. Repent and be baptized. We read of the ministry of Paul. You see, we started with John, and then Jesus, and then Peter. We come to Paul, and it says he went and he preached the message of repentance to the Gentiles. You can go all the way then to the back of the book in Revelation. Do you know what the message there was? It was repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Don't continue down the road that you're on, but turn around. And there is time and occasion tonight for repentance. There is a place tonight that the Spirit of the Lord in His love and in His care is giving us one more opportunity to turn around and accept Christ as our Savior. He's given us, you young people tonight, I know that it's a blessing, and you may not realize it yet, but it's a blessing to be raised with godly parents. But I also know of many a person that have sat and been raised in a home with mom and dad teaching them truth. And inside their heart, they were turned away from God. And they were just waiting for the moment that I can get out on my own and I can live like I want. Do you know the Lord loves you in that state of rebellion tonight? But there is never a better time. And if you will just allow us as we open up our hearts and minds to the Spirit tonight, I'd like to reason with us a little bit this evening. I'd like to reason with us tonight. Do you know that sin will bring heartache to life? And ultimately, there is something that's going to occur that all of us are going to stand before a God. That He's not going to be there with His mercy extended, but He's going to stand as our judge. He's going to stand, but we're going to stand before that God, and we're going to give an account of how we have lived our lives. Over in the book of Acts, in the 17th chapter, Acts chapter 17, in verse 30, it said the times of this ignorance. It was speaking about the time under the law. The time before Christ came and offered the plan of redemption. It said, the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know that is still the invitation of the Lord Jesus to us tonight. It's a message of repentance, of turning away. And it said here, because, and He told us the reason, because He hath appointed a day in the which that He will judge the world. And we don't know when that day is coming. And so the commandment, the invitation is to repent. And it is for this reason, going a little bit further back than in the book of Ecclesiastes, we read about a wise man giving some counsel to the youth, and it applies to all of us, but he told them, he said, remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why did he say remember now? Why the evil days come not nigh? And the years draw nigh, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It was because the time of repentance will never be easier than when you're young. It will never be easier than when your heart is still been, to a large extent, unaffected by the sinfulness of our world. And so he said, remember now. Because before that, in the 9th chapter, or in the 9th verse of the 11th chapter, he said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou this. In other words, rejoice. You know, it's wonderful to be young. Life is ahead of you. You have plans and dreams and purposes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there was a reminder in all of your rejoicing and looking forward. Remember this, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And that, then he went on to say, remember now your Creator. The Lord is going to bring all of us into a place of judgment. And if that place were judgment tonight, where would we stand this evening? Do you know that when we stand before the Lord, I'm not going to be able to take my parents with me?
No.
I can't take my pastor with me.
No.
I can't take the congregation with me, because there is a measure of security in sitting where we sit tonight. There is a measure of security in feeling the presence of the Lord. It comforts me to be in the anointing, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It comforts me to hear the Word of God being preached. It comforts my heart to see people that have a mind to serve the Lord, because it challenges me and comforts me, and I receive from some of your fire. But when it comes my time, and it comes your time to stand before God, we're not going to have that security blanket around us. And we're going to give an account of our own life and of our own choices. We're going to give an account of that to the Lord. And so the challenge he gave here was, remember now. Don't forget your Creator. I've known too many that have sat seemingly unrebellious. They sat where we sat.
Yes.
They sang like we sang.
Yes.
And they testified like we testified. And I've seen them walk away from God.
Yes.
And I've seen them snatched out of this life.
Yes.
And if they could come back tonight and testify to us that this thing's real.
Yes.
This is real. Oh, do you know that I believe we would remember now our Creator? And those that are older, and maybe you have a long life of sin behind you, there is still time and opportunity to turn away from sin and repent and come to the Lord. Because the reality is that at the end of the road, that we're going to meet God. With all of our plans, all of our dreams, wherever we've gone to service, whatever we have done in life, at the end, there is a God that we're going to stand before. And there's no fooling Him. We're going to be speechless, because the reality is that God is not going to pull any surprises on us at the judgment. I know some people live in fear of a surprise at the judgment. Do you know that there will be no surprises at the judgment? Because the Lord loves us so much in this life that He is going to reveal to us, while we have time and opportunity, to take care of the things that we will face one day. when we stand before God. There is an article that was written many years ago that what I believe the title of it was, "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" I had a man email me about a month ago, and I believe he's in his late 70s or 80s, and he said, "I just want to tell you something about that article." He said, "On author it says unknown." He said, "My mother wrote that article." And he said, "I want to tell you a little bit more about what happened." His grandfather, he said, was a man that they thought had come to service, just like we're here tonight. He thought that he had had a profession at one time of being saved. And he lost his wife, and he had a sister that died, and he got bitter against God. And he stopped coming to service, and he lost out with the Lord. And he lived for years without hope. He lived for years in darkness. And his daughter would come to him and she would say, "Father," she said, "you can still be saved." And there was a day that he said, "Okay," he said, "I'll pray." And they said he got down on his knees and he started praying until he got up. And he said, "There's nothing to this." And he walked away. As the years passed, 6 weeks before he died, his health got very bad, and he was hospitalized. And they said that on the hospital bed, he asked his family, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they told him, they said, "Father, grandfather," they said, just pray. The Lord will forgive you. Just repent." But he couldn't. And he asked over and over and over, for 6 weeks, in misery, "What must I do to be saved?" He had had opportunity. He had had opportunities like we have tonight. But he had pushed it away for so long that he lay helpless in his bed, wrestling in his mind and his spirit. And the grandson told me this, who now, like I said, is probably in his 80s. He said, "I want to tell you the end of the story." He said, "I was with my grandfather the morning that he died. And he said, I was holding his hand. And he said, the last words that my grandfather spoke, he said, 'It's too late. It's too late.' And he went out into eternity." And you may say that was a number of years ago. Had occasion a few years ago, unfortunately, to sit by a man that has sat where we sat. He taught Sunday school. He taught the young people. And this man lost out with God. He grew old. And I went and asked him one day, he was getting feeble, and we prayed, and I had such a heavy burden. I asked him, I said, "Do you want to be saved?" And he thought about it and considered it, and after a while he said, "I know I need to be." And I said, "Yes, you need to be, but do you want to?" And finally he said, I want what I used to have. And I said, "Would you be willing then to pray?" I said, "All you have to do is open up your heart and say, 'Lord, I'm sorry.'" And he said, "Not yet." He said, "I'm not ready yet." It was only a few weeks later that he also was in the hospital. Young people, these things are real. Remember now your Creator. When you are sitting here and the Spirit of the Lord is inviting you to repent, take advantage of the opportunity. And I went in and I talked to him. And he couldn't talk anymore. He could just whisper. And the last words that he ever spoke were to me that day in his room. And I said, "Do you know that all you have to do is say yes to the Lord? All you have to do is just say yes." And I listened, I watched his mouth move. And he said, "Not yet. Not yet." And that night, He went into eternity to meet a God who had been so faithful to him. And I wonder why. Why didn't he just open up his heart? There was a man that, and you can read it if you want homework, but in the 24th chapter of Acts, we read about Paul witnessing to Felix. And it said he reasoned with him. Acts 24, verse 24 and 25 said that Paul reasoned with Felix of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. He was witnessing to him. He was telling him about Christ. He was telling him about the judgment that was going to come. And it said that Felix, do you remember what he did? He trembled. Because the Spirit of the Lord was talking to his heart and he was trembling because he knew that this was right. And he told Paul, he said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Can you tell me in the Bible? Can you tell me in the Scripture where it says that Felix called for Paul to come back? I don't find it. It is dangerous to delay repenting. And so if you will give me a little bit more time tonight, I want to reason with you. I want to tell you why it's dangerous to delay. Because here Felix, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, there's no record that he ever got saved. And there's story after story. I know Brother Ed could tell us many more. Of people, he told us one already tonight. People that the Lord gave opportunity. And they walked away. And that's the reason we have meetings like this. Because the Lord is saying, I want to give you another opportunity. And you think, well, I will plan to one day. Whether you're young or old tonight, know this. There is never going to be a more convenient time to turn away from your sin and accept salvation than there is tonight. There will never be an easier time. And if there is something in your mind thinking that down the road I plan to get right with God, take note of this. You have no expectation of tomorrow. One of the problems with delaying is you really miss out on the greatest victory and peace that life has to offer. If you serve the Lord when you're young, you will find, and I believe, even independence of heaven, I believe that serving the Lord with all of its crosses, that there is a joy and a peace and a blessing in living life God's way in this life. Even if we didn't have a heaven to look forward to, you miss the real joy. And I would tonight that the Spirit of the Lord just pull back the curtain just a little bit for us tonight. Sin is deceptive. It is true, young people, that there are some pleasures out there. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that there's no fun out there. But I want to tell you it's a mirage, though. You can go out and there's a little bit of fun, but it's not going to be fun for very long. Sin will bring heartache. It will break your homes up. It will bring addictions. It will bring loneliness. And it will bring darkness. I don't want to trade in a walk with God and an opportunity to have the peace of God in my heart for what appears to be fun out there, because it's only for a season. And all you have to do is start taking note of the older ones that walked away from God. Was it worth it? And that means when you're young and the devil comes and says, oh, it's much better out in the world. Recognize that's the devil. And if you think that it's going to be different for you, it's not different. Sin is deceptive. It's the cause of so much heartache. And I look at those that have chosen to follow Jesus, and I've seen the older ones, I sat by their bedside, and I've seen the peace of God as they slipped out of this life. That's the way I want to go. Young people, Jesus can give you the best of life if you will follow Him when you're young. Another reason it's dangerous to delay, and I know there are some older folks here tonight that could testify to this, there's a lot of wasted years. If you do have the opportunity to get saved, if, when you're older, what are the consequences of your family? Your children that you have raised that know nothing about God. And my heart goes out to those that look back and regret the wasted years tonight. And the Lord forgives. And He restores and He gives salvation. But I would that the young people understand tonight, if you will be saved tonight and serve the Lord, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. It'll keep you out because, see, marriage is a trap. Marriage is one of the greatest traps that the enemy has laid. If he can get us to draw away, to join our lives with someone that does not have a common love for God. And then, more often than not, it's going to draw me away from God. And then how are we going to raise our children? And then they grow up knowing very little about the Lord. And then when I'm older, I say, I want to serve the Lord, and I look in my past. And all the pain that I've caused, and all of the wasted years that the Lord could have used. Lord, help us to know that we cannot turn our back on God tonight and expect there not to be a cost.
Yes.
There is a high cost,
yes, there is,
to rejecting the Lord. Life is uncertain. It's another reason that there's danger in delay. And that's the title of the message tonight, The Danger of Delay. It's life is so uncertain, and as I drove here tonight, my mind went back to those that have been in meetings just like this. They sat in the Shawnee Chapel. They have gone to Monarch. And I have prayed with too many at the altar that were taken into eternity without time to pray. And that meant that they went out and they faced God in the condition that they were, without any more time to say, I want to pray. No time for a deathbed confession. No time to say, I wish I would have followed the Lord, because their life was taken quickly. And I wonder tonight how many lives have to be lost before we really start to recognize that reality for us. But we don't know when the Lord's going to come back for us. Life is uncertain. We don't have certainty of tomorrow. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. The Scripture says He's going to come back as a thief. And I remember, actually, down at the apartments behind the chapel, we lived in apartment, was it A? The one on the right-hand side down there? C. We were gone and someone broke in and stole a lot of my stuff. They got in my personal items in my desk. They stole my tools. They stole... Do you know, if I would have known, I would have stayed home. If I would have known, I would have been waiting. I would have been prepared. If I would have known, but I didn't know. Do you know that none of us know when the Lord is going to come back? And you look at the pattern of God's mercy and God's judgment from the Old Testament to the New, and we have to acknowledge we're getting really close to the time that Jesus is going to come back. And those that have scoffed at that for and said, where is He? Do you know those that scoffed 100 years ago, they have met their Master? Because their life, they passed into eternity. Tonight, we don't have the luxury, if you want to call it that, we don't have the luxury of putting off our salvation. There's danger in saying no to the wooing voice of the Holy Spirit. There is a song, and this is another reason there's danger and delay. There's a song that we used to sing a lot more often than we do. And the song said that sin will take you farther than you want to go. I still believe that. Do you? Have you seen that happen? In what I have observed in my time, I've watched young people reject the Lord. And you know that if you have been blessed, and I know you've been blessed because you're here tonight, you've been blessed to hear truth. And it seems like that saints' children that choose to walk away from God go out a lot further and deeper into sin a whole lot faster than even people out in the world. Because when you have knowledge of what is right, and you rebel against God, and you get on the devil's ground, you are not in control. And if the enemy has tried to fool you in thinking that I really don't want to live this way, I look around and I see people that are living holy lives, and I say, I don't want to live that way. I think there's something better out there. When you walk away from it, you are not in control. You say, I just want to be who I really am. And so you actually are going to go and live like the majority rather than the minority. And the devil makes you think you're being your own person and you're going to live like everybody else out in the world. Yeah. It's a trap of the enemy. It's foolishness, but yet that's how the enemy works in our minds. Sin will take you further. And there may be lines tonight that you may say, I will not do this and I will not do that, but I really don't want to follow the Lord. Tonight, if we turn our back on the Lord, sin will still take you further than what you ever wanted to go. I've seen many people walk away from God and they have their parameters. And it did not take very long before they were steeped in sin. Drugs and alcohol and adultery and fornication and drunkenness and all the drugs and all that. And you say, how can they do that? It's because they turned their back on God. And they have knowledge. Folks, we need to respond when the Spirit of God is giving us opportunity. And there's danger in delay. It's where deception sets in. The longer that we reject the dealings of God in our life, it's where deception comes. It's where people start to actually convince themselves that I'm okay now. Because I've been outside of the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants us to acknowledge Him. But if we depart from the faith, there's great danger. And what would happen tonight? Just what would happen if the Spirit of the Lord took us at our word tonight? For those that are saying, I don't want to be saved tonight. I don't want to repent tonight. Maybe someday. What would it be like if the Holy Spirit said, okay, I'll leave you alone. And I'll let you go your way and live how you want to live. You know that people that are in sin, there is a comfort in conviction. It makes people uncomfortable. And in one sense, they don't like it. But you know, when the Spirit of the Lord is convicting me, there is a security to know that God's still there. He's still talking to me. And when I'm ready, I can say yes. But you know, there comes a time that people's hearts begin to get hard. And it's the reason why some of these stories that have been shared tonight, when people got old and they went out into eternity knowing they were going to face God, and they said, it's too late. Not yet. It's because they had pushed the Spirit of God away so long, it was hard for them to believe that the Lord really loves me enough to forgive me. Tonight, God's love is greater than your sin. And young people, you may be a compliant child. You may not be causing your parents any grief. But the Lord knows if you really turn away from your sin. I had a son. As he grew older, he made a decision. And I thank God for his mercy. But he made a decision that I really don't want to live this way, but it was overt. He was not in my face rebellious when he was in the home. But as soon as he got out on his own, the devil took him so fast and far from God. And it was the mercy of God that he reached back out and pulled him out of the pig pit of sin. But he was on the edge of eternity. He almost crossed over. And it was the mercy of God. My point is this. Young people, don't think it won't happen to me. If there is something in your heart that is already hardening yourself to the Lord, but yet we come and we dress right and we act right, but inside we're making a decision, I want you to know, remember now your Creator. Because there is great danger in delay. Brother Ed said it. There are eternal consequences to the choice that we make. There's danger because when we cross over into eternity, hell is a reality.
Yes, it is.
It's a reality. We read about the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man was in hell, and it said he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Hell, we don't know what all it includes, but it's a place of loneliness. It's a place of despair. It's a place of eternal separation from all that is good and loving and kind and accepting. All the things that bring security. Hell is a place of misery. But we don't just end up in hell. It's because of choices that we make. When we choose not to repent and follow the Lord Jesus. And so that's why the Scripture says over in Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 9, I'll just give a little bit of it. He said, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near." If you hear the Spirit of the Lord calling you tonight, there's danger in delay. If you have wasted years behind you tonight, the Lord can forgive you. And He can save you. But if you're young and you think that maybe down the road is going to be a whole lot different when you get down there than what it seems like tonight. And this is the reason the Scripture said, "Behold, now is the accepted time."
Yes.
Today is the day of salvation. As we stand and sing a song, is there one soul tonight? Is there one soul that will hear the voice of the Spirit and say, "Lord, I'm ready to turn around. And I give my life to You, Lord. Would You come in?" If you don't, there's great danger in delay. But I believe the Spirit of the Lord is calling someone tonight while we have this opportunity.